Good morning. You guys look fresh so early in the morning. Again, my name is Crystal Hayes. I'm from the University of Southern California. I just want to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Tamika Gilreath. And this analysis, this study that we did is looking at heterogeneity of help-seeking behaviors for depression among African Americans. That's the primary focus. I have no disclosures. So just as in, by the way, a little background. So there's a few things that we know from the literature about depression, help-seeking among African Americans. One is that there are racial disparities. We consistently see that African Americans have more severe depressive symptoms, their prognosis is worse, and their symptoms tend to last longer. There's a lot of possible reasons for this, but I'm going to focus on help-seeking behaviors for this study, but just throwing it out there, there's a whole host of other possible reasons that the literature suggests that this is the case. But one of the things that we find is that there are reported low rates of professional help-seeking for depression among African Americans. Now, just as a note, most of the research in this area is comparative. So we'll be comparing African Americans to non-Hispanic whites. So compared to non-Hispanic whites, African Americans do consistently have lower rates of help-seeking. Also, we see that there tends to be a preference for informal support. So informal is generally your family and friends, clergy, you know, religious coping, things like that are considered informal support. Even medical providers, instead of going to an actual professional mental health provider that's trained in depression treatment. What we were interested, though, in looking at is heterogeneity within that, because often when you read studies that are particularly the ones that are comparing African Americans to other racial groups, it will leave you with an impression that it's African Americans tend to do this and not this, and they tend to do that and not this, and it seems very one-dimensional at times. And so what we wanted to try to find is in what different ways and what combinations of treatment, and knowing that African Americans are a heterogeneous group. I knew I was going to get it eventually. A heterogeneous group, that there must be a more dynamic process than just they don't seek professionals and they go to their pastor. So that's what we're really focused on in this study. And so we used also the National Survey of American Life. We came up with a sample of 540 adults. And our analytic sample includes African Americans and Black Caribbeans, all who were identified as having a major depressive episode in their lifetime, and all responded to questions around who they went to for help for depression. So we did a latent class analysis, which really seemed well suited for the kind of information we were looking for with this data. So what we did was a series of successive models, and these are the different fit indices that we used to try to identify the best fitting model. And then once we came up with our, once we identified the best fitting model, we did do some cross-tabulations, looking at different demographic characteristics, just to identify frequencies and proportions. Okay, so here's some of the measures that we looked at. So the depression measures pretty much fell in three different categories. So first you have formal mental health providers. And so respondents would have answered whether or not they sought help for depression from a psychiatrist or mental health professional for that category. In primary care, they were asked if they went to a family doctor, another health professional. And informal support, we used items where they were asked if they went to their clergy for help for sadness or if they went to family or friends. And here are the demographic characteristics that we looked at. Okay, good stuff. So here's a snapshot at our sample. where you can just see the age breakdown. Not very many older adults in the sample. Majority are female. Majority African American. Majority have above high school education and have health insurance. Okay, so here are the results. So we came up with a four-class solution, and these are the four classes that we were able to identify. We spent a lot of time trying to name them and really try to figure out what made them unique from one another. So the first class is about 41% of the sample, and these are folks who primarily went to formal mental health providers. So these are I went to a psychiatrist and other mental health professional folks. The second group is what we named all support utilizers, about 10%. These are somebody help me, Lord, anybody. That's those folks that sought help from any and every source that they could. The third is the mixed source utilizers, which is about 8% of the total sample, who had kind of a good split between going to professionals and going to their informal sources, church, family, and friends. And then the last category is another 45%, which sought help from primarily informal sources. Okay, so I'm going to the next slide. Just a heads up, there's a lot going on. So we're going to take it a little slow because there's colors and bars all over the place. So the blue is yes, red is no. There are four slices here that represent the four different classes. So, first slice, you have formal mental health providers, right? These are the folks that we identified as primarily seeking help from psychiatrists, mental health professionals. So that you see more blue, which are yeses, towards the left, and the left side is the more formal mental health provider side. So psychiatrists, other mental health professionals, they did seek some help from primary care, much lower on other health professionals. Nobody went to the pastor, and some for family and friends. But compared to the other classes, it's leaning more towards the side of formal health providers, right? So the second group, a lot of blue. These are the somebody, anybody help me. The third group is mixed source, which you do see quite a bit of blue, which are yeses and going to your mental health providers, and also a lot of blue in going to clergy, family, and friends. Not too much primary care, which is in the middle. So these are the, you know, the split folks who were able to go to both kinds of sources. And then the last group is the informal support. You see less blue on the formal mental health providers, did go to primary care, and did go to clergy and family and friends at a pretty high frequency. So, kind of makes sense? Okay. Just in case you're a number person, throw it at you one more time. These are just the conditional probabilities so you can see how the numbers actually fell for the four different classes. And at the top, you'll see the class prevalence on the percentage of the total sample that was assigned to each of these classes. Okay, so as I said, we did then do some cross tabulations after we got our class results, and nothing too surprising. We didn't see any statistically significant differences, and there was a higher frequency of high school or above African Americans and short and women across the classes, which is consistent with, you know, what we saw in the total sample. With age, we used a three-category age variable. And just, you know, as a note, in the mixed source group, there were no older adults. Now, keep in mind that there weren't a whole lot of older adults in the sample altogether, but that was the only class that had no older adults assigned to that class. For the formal mental health providers, there are more young people in that class, and in the all support class, there were more middle-aged folks. So, just something interesting. Okay, so what's all this mean? Well, as we suspected, that it supports the idea around looking at heterogeneity within the group. I personally am a fan of within-group analyses. I mean, there's a lot that we can learn from comparing African Americans to other racial groups, but there's also a different picture that we can gain from looking within the group. When we do studies that where we limit it to African American only samples, it just gives us a different kind of picture, and that's what we were going for here. So we did find that there are it is a more dynamic process than some of the literature might make it seem like, so that it's not just African Americans have low rates of professional help seeking, African Americans go to their pastors. We do see a more dynamic process, and that there are these variations in the kinds and types of ways that folks get the help that they need for depression. Another thing that I thought about was that many African Americans are seeking professional help. So it still may be the case when we do race comparison work that they seek help at a lower rate than non-Hispanic whites, but we still saw that almost 41% of the sample were going primarily to mental health professionals. And so that has some implications that I'll get to in just a second. We do see, which is no surprise, that informal support was pretty popular, and that in several of the classes, folks went to family and friends and clergy for support, even if they went to mental health professionals. That was still something that we saw frequently. What was a bit interesting to me when we finally started, naming the classes and taking a deeper look at what they were comprised of, that there were a few, I think it was the smallest class, of African Americans who were able, willing to go to both formal and informal sources. And I don't have any answers as to why that is. It's just a first step. I plan to do some more research around this. But that was the smallest class of folks who were able to see a psychiatrist and go to their pastor, that were able to go to both sorts of sources. That by and large, we still saw this polarity between folks who went to mental health professionals or you went to informal sources. And it was about 41% in each. So that's just an interesting finding to me, that there weren't a whole lot of folks who went to both. Of course, there's some limitations to the study, namely the small sample size, which really kind of limited us to how much we could look at. It limited us in our ability to really examine covariates and do some, additional analysis, but I just still feel that this is a good step. We, got some interesting information, but hopefully in future studies we'd be able to have a larger sample so that we can look even more deeply into these things. So, future directions. In regards to practice, one of the first things that came to my mind was around community-based partnerships. Because prior to entering this world of academia, I was working at a community mental health clinic who started doing some pretty innovative, at least in our area, some innovative work around trying to partner with local churches to begin building relationships so that there could be this partnership. And so looking at this reminded me of that work, because we're seeing that it's not just one or the other, at least in some cases, at least for some folks, that there are individuals who are willing to go to their pastor and go to the psychiatrist. And it just seems intuitive, as a practitioner, that it probably would benefit that person if maybe the psychiatrist and the pastor could, do some work together. How genius is that, right? So that was one of the first things that came to my mind, which is really an area in the research and my hunches in the real world, something that's lacking, right? Work around these faith-based partnerships. I was excited when I saw that one of the other presenters was even talking about religion. I was like, yeah. The other thing that came to mind was around cultural competence and training for professionals. I feel like when we look at studies or when there's a tone that African Americans don't go to professionals, and that's, I'm not saying that that's what the literature says, but usually because it's in compared, because they go less, it kind of feels like they don't go, which we see is not the case, but that still shapes our discourse around practice and what's important and where money goes and that sort of thing. And so I feel like studies like this that still point out, hey, there's 41%, at least in this sample, of folks who had a depressive episode that went primarily to mental health providers. I'm always curious, as a provider, what happened when those folks got to that provider? You know, were they treated in a fair and competent way? You know, did they get the help that they needed? Because this isn't even asked that. This just asked, did you go? This isn't asked, did it help? So, you know, it's just some of the things that we need to start to think about when we see, now that we're understanding it in a different way. Another thing that we have to acknowledge in, you know, most things that we're doing now, particularly around mental health, is integrative healthcare reform. You know, lots of things are changing. From legislative standpoint, and that's trickling down to folks' actual experience with their healthcare, and primary care we're seeing here is a big part of the picture. And so we have to wonder, in the same way as mental health professionals, are they being trained in a culturally competent way? To what degree are healthcare providers, are family doctors prepared to deal with the issues that folks are going to come to them with? So when an older African American woman who is going to see her doctor, her family doctor regularly, comes with symptoms of sadness and depression, you know, is that doctor going to know what to do? As far as research, kind of the same culprits, more studies. You know, we need, and particularly more studies looking at within group differences, because I do feel like it just gives you kind of puts a different taste in your mouth, just a little bit. And with that, larger samples. There was so much I wanted to look at, like so many. And my co-author, who's here, and who will take all the hard questions, by the way. When we were working on this, it's like, okay, calm down. No, we might not want to look at everything right now. And really, we just didn't have, you know, the power to do that in this study. So that's something that's on the forefront. I'm trying to get a larger study to do that so that maybe we can look at other covariates. In the wonderful introduction that she gave, she mentioned that one of my research interests is in religion, around religion and church-based mental health support. And so that's one of the things that I know I would like to look at within this context, is how religion plays a part in all of this, and the degree that, you know, this clergy support finds its way into the outcomes for depression for African Americans. And so hopefully we'll be able to look at some other covariates like that. And just hear some references for you. And thank you very much.
Thank you. We do have time for about one question.
Okay. You may have alluded to this already, but I was curious to know if the National Survey of American Life had any treatment outcome data available.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. I do believe, and these are not, if anybody else knows, please chime in, but these are not variables that I've looked at too much just yet, but off the top of my head, I do remember there being some questions around at least the frequency. There may have been a couple of questions on if it helped. I mean, nothing that's, you know, no psychometric tests or anything like that. But there may have been some self-report questions. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at a maybe.
Okay, because you made that statement that
African-Americans
have disparities.
Right, right. And that's coming from the general literature in this area. You know, not necessarily from this data set, but the literature in the area suggests, and I think it's the Office on Minority and National Affairs, that report, is where that data comes from.
So I can tell you that there is outcome data related to this. The National Survey of American Life is part of the Collaborative Psychiatric Epidemiological Surveys, And that's a very, very large sample of the U.S. population, and there are data that look at outcomes of specific treatments. So if you have depression, outcome, severity of depression, that type of thing, there is some data like that in that survey.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, wait, one more question, and then we have to move on. Go ahead.
I just wondered, in light of the findings about informal support, I recognize that church-based and church-related is one opportunity. I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on supporting those other informal supporters?
Did I even have that on here? I might check that out. Yes, because that's the area that I worked in, so I know that's my experience in the field. I focus on religion, but that's definitely one of the points I at least intended to make, that family, and this is an opportunity also to encourage folks that can make change to enact things that can support particularly family. So there are, you know, some groups, NAMIs and what have you, that, you know, support families in that. But the general tone of what we wanted to bring across with this is that African Americans are going to people for help. And they're going to different people for help. And the folks that they're going to should be the ones that we're supporting to help them meet their needs. Because if it's the, you know, the class of folks who are the informal help seekers who may not be likely to go to a psychiatrist, well, we need to support the folks that they are going to go to, which are likely family, friends, clergy, you know. So I would hope that that's what this sort of research would encourage, you know, when we start to talk about programming and particularly funding and where money goes, that that's a consideration when we're trying to tackle the disparities that African Americans face. So thank you. That's a good point.